Alrighty. Alright, well, good morning, and before we get started with the preaching, you can take your Bibles and turn back to Galatians chapter 5, by the way. And before we get into the message this morning, I just want to say welcome to any of those who might have decided to join in on the live stream. Hopefully where nothing's going technically wrong and everything's streaming fine. You never can tell about technology a lot of times, right? But I just want to welcome you for being here. And I want to give you a personal invitation from Grace and Truth Baptist Church to not just listen to us on the live stream, but if you get a chance to come visit us, come visit us. You're welcome. We'd be honored to have you come visit. We'd love to meet you. And what you see is pretty much what you get. We're just kind of simple, straightforward folks. So we just want to serve the Lord, and we want folks to, we're like anybody, we want our church to grow, but we want folks to come and that want to serve the Lord, or if you got questions or stuff, and we can be a help to you. It'd be our honor to be able to do that. But anyway, take your Bibles, if you would, and turn to the book of Galatians chapter 5, and we're going to go back again, back to verse 13. And we'll read through the end of the chapter. He says, "For brethren, you've been called unto liberty, only use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh, but by love serve one another. For all the law is fulfilled in one word, even in this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. But if ye bite and devour one another, take heed that ye be not consumed one of another. This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary the one to the other, so that ye cannot do the things that ye would. But if ye be led of the Spirit, ye are not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and of such like, of the which I tell you before, as I have also told you in time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. And they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Let us not be desirous of vainglory, provoking one another, envying one another." Heavenly Father, thank you for this day. Thank you for each one that may be listening today and those that are here. And I just pray you'd help me to be a blessing. Lord, we talk about the fruit of the Spirit, and we need to see the power of the Spirit, and we need your help. We cannot hear properly or preach properly without you. So Lord, just help us to yield ourselves to you today. And Lord, help us to desire what you have for us. Bless each one, we pray. If there's one that's lost, we pray for their salvation today. And Father, we just pray you'd help believers to grow up in the Lord the way we need to. Thank you, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. Well, the first thing I'd like to say to you, we're going to be continuing this series for all the way through this whole section of the fruit of the Spirit. And I will say, first of all, that the fruit of the Spirit is not plural, it's singular. Because this is what is manifest in the life of an individual who's filled with the Spirit of God, who's yielded to the Spirit of God, who's led by the Spirit, who's walking in the Spirit, whatever terminology, biblical terminology you want to add to it, that is what it's talking about. It's the same thing. And so we talked about love last Sunday morning. We talked about joy on Wednesday night. Today we're going to talk about peace. And you know, if there's anything that this world, that people need in this world, as crazy as things are getting, it's peace. I mean, if you listen to the news and spend all your time listening to the news and everything, but you'll be as crazy as a bull bat. And it is no wonder why people are so fearful because of the things. And by the way, that's what the devil wants. You know, the Bible says God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. But the devil wants men's hearts failing them for fear. But God doesn't want you to live in fear. God wants you to have peace. Matter of fact, how many times when you look at the Word of God, in the epistles, does God start out by saying, grace and peace unto you? Now, if He says it that many times, I think He's trying to tell us that's what He wants us to have. Both grace and peace. And it'd be good if we just believe it. If we just believe that that's what He wants us to have. Because it's not just the crazy things that are going out on in the world. But there's some crazy things going on in our lives too, isn't there? And I don't know about you, but excuse me, I need God's peace. I need God's peace. Excuse me, I'm going to get a little water here. Got to clear my throat a little bit. But I need God's peace. Do you? I need something that's more than what the world offers. Because the world doesn't offer anything. Matter of fact, the world, and by the way, I will say, when I say the world, I'm talking about the religious world too, because the Lord Jesus talked about people who say peace, peace, when there is no peace. And Jeremiah said that, didn't he? I mean, but when they said, when they say peace, peace, when there is no peace, those prophets, and there's a lot of people that say that. And so, but we need the peace of God. If you look at the verse up there, it says, let the peace of God rule in your hearts. Alright? Let the peace of God rule in your hearts. So you have some decision making if you're going to have peace, aren't you? You're going to have to allow something. So that's something to think about. But I want to say to you, when the Bible says the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, and peace, and we're looking at peace, and we've been, like in the Sunday school hour, when we talk about people being filled with the Holy Ghost, right? And we're looking at the people in the Bible that were filled with the Holy Ghost in the book of Acts, where it specifically says that. And you see Stephen in front of all of those people. They're, all the people around him are angry. They're gnashing on him with their teeth. And Stephen's looking up in heaven and saying, I see the heavens open and the Son of Man standing, Jesus standing on the right hand of God. He had peace, didn't he? He had such peace that they were throwing him out there and throwing stones at him. He said, well, I guess it's time to go to sleep. Lord, lay not this sin to their charge. He had some peace, didn't he? And brother, I want to tell you something. We need peace. An amazing thing about when we talk about peace, you know, when we talk about peace and everything like that, the amazing thing about that is Jesus, in the book of John, numerous times, specifically talked to us about how He was going to give us peace. Take a look at, if you will, I'm going to kind of run through the verses. John chapter 14, verse 27, Jesus said, peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you, not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Jesus said, I'm going to give you peace, not the same type of peace the world offers. I'm going to give you my peace. And by the way, the Bible says, He is our peace. In Ephesians 2:14, He is our peace, who hath made both one, and hath broken down the middle wall of partition between us, between Jew and Gentile. Alright? He is our peace. But He also said in John 16:33, these things have I spoken unto you, that in me ye might have peace. In the world ye shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer, I've overcome the world. Part of that idea of having good cheer is having peace. Even in the midst of tribulation. Old brother Stephen was in some tribulation today. Didn't we see that this morning? And so we look at that. John 20 and verse 19, then the same day at evening, being the first day of the week when the doors were shut, where the disciples were assembled for what? Fear of the Jews, came Jesus and stood in the midst and said unto them, peace be unto you. They were afraid. Jesus said, oh, you don't need to be afraid. Peace be unto you. John 20:21, Jesus said to them again, peace be unto you. As my Father hath sent me, even so send I you. He offered me peace in being a soul winner. Peace in being a witness. Peace be unto you. As my Father has sent me, so send I you. What did he send him for? For the Son of Man has come to do what? To seek and to save that which is lost. Isn't that what he said? I'm just reading the Bible to you. John 20 and verse 26, after eight days again, the disciples were within and Thomas with them. Finally, Brother Thomas gets in on the act. You know, the first time he wasn't there, was he? And he had doubting, you know. After 8 days again, his disciples were within and Thomas with them. Then came Jesus, the doors being shut, and stood in the midst and said, peace be unto you. That is five passages in the Bible, in the book of John, where Jesus specifically said that he was going to give us and he wanted us to have peace. That is not the peace that you get from this world, but peace that you get from him alone. Now, if he said, and once again, I just said every time we read one of the epistles of Brother Paul and Peter, grace and peace be unto you. Right? That's just said over and over again. We just gloss right on over it. Yeah, I'm glad I read that, and I read one day and said, you know what? God just says that over and over. He must really want me to have this. I wish we'd just grab onto things like that. Kind of, it would help us. But when we talk about peace being the fruit of the Spirit, and just like love, and just like joy, these are the things that come from God. We have that great privilege to be, I have the privilege, Brother Johnny, to be able to love like God loves. To be able to have joy like God has joy. To be able to have peace like God has peace. All these things, when we talk about the fruit of the Spirit, is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. Those are things that come from God because the Holy Ghost is God, isn't He? It's not the world, the idea of what the world has. It's God's love, God's joy, God's peace. It comes from Him. Romans 5:1. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. How do we have peace with God? Through our Lord Jesus Christ. Peace with God. You remember we talked about loving God, loving the Word of God, loving the brethren, loving the lost. Likewise here, peace with God, peace among ourselves, and peace with the world. You'll see this as we go through it. I'm just trying to get you to understand something here and grab a hold of it. He says, Romans 8:6, for to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. You need to be filled with the Spirit to have peace. Romans 14:17, for the kingdom of God is not in meat and drink, but righteousness, peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. Romans 14:19, let us therefore follow after the things which make for peace. and things wherewith one may edify another. Notice what he said. Peace is something to be followed after. Peace is something to be sought. Remember we talked about being filled with the Spirit. This is something you have to desire. You have to want it. If you want peace, you're going to have to follow after it. He says this in Hebrews 12:14. He says, follow peace with all men and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. He said in 1 Peter chapter 3, he said, talking about people that wanted to see a good life, he said, let him eschew evil and do good. Let him seek peace and ensue it. Seek it, that's pursuing. Ensuing is what happens after you do the pursuing. Ensuing is where you grab hold of it. Ensuing is where you say, this is where I'm going to stand. This is what I need. Romans 15:13 says, now the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that you may abound in hope through the power of the Holy Ghost. You are going to have to believe God that this peace is available to you. You'll find that joy and that peace, this fruit of the Spirit, this fruit of the Spirit comes through believing, through faith. Find joy and peace in believing. 1 Corinthians 14:33 tells us God is not the author of confusion, but of peace, as in all the churches of the saints. Notice we're seeing peace with God. Now we're seeing peace with the brethren. We've seen peace with the world. Blessed are the peacemakers. They'll be called the children of God, right? He says this, 2 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 11, finally, brethren, farewell, be perfect, be of good comfort, be of one mind, live in peace, and the God of love and peace shall be with you. You know that saying? It's saying if we walk in the light, as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. Amen. Live in peace, and the God of love and peace shall be with you. We talked about where peace comes from. Ephesians 2:14. For He is our peace, right? It comes from Christ. In Ephesians 2:17, talking about Jesus, and came and preached peace to you which were afar off and to them that were nigh, to Jew and Gentile. Right? Comes from Jesus. Ephesians 4:3, it says, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. And that shows that peace is a natural manifestation of being filled with the Holy Ghost, being filled with the Spirit. It is the fruit of the Spirit. It's not by men. And so when we look at that, we have to understand that. And then, of course, we look at Philippians 4:9. Those things which you both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do, and the God of peace shall be with you. Right? So I'm going through the scriptures, and you see how many scriptures. I'm just going through New Testament scriptures. It would take me way too long to go through the Old Testament. But the bottom line is the things that God said. You know, we go back there, and one of the names of Jesus is what? The Prince of Peace. Right? So we go through there, and we look at these things, and notice that this peace is related to us yielding ourselves to God, yielding our hearts to do God's will, yielding ourselves to the Spirit of God. We also read that in Colossians 3:15, and let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which also you are called in one body, and be ye thankful. So the peace of God ruling in our hearts, I just mentioned a while ago, let the peace of God rule in your heart. Get yourself out of the way. Allow it to happen. Allow God's Word. 2 Thessalonians 3:16, now the Lord of peace Himself give you peace. Where does it come from? It comes from Him. Always, by all means, the Lord be with you all. 2 Timothy 2:11, flee also, 2:22, excuse me, 2 Timothy 2:22, flee also youthful lust, but follow righteousness, faith, charity, peace. Follow it. Once again, we're going to that pursuit of this, that desire to have this, what God has promised you. It's extremely important. With them that call on the Lord out of a pure heart. You know, we've talked about all those things. So we see this, when he talks about peace, he's talking about peace with God, peace among the brethren in the church. He's talking about peace with those that are on the outside, the lost. He's talking about that. Makes it clear that this peace, it only comes from God. It only comes from our Savior. It only comes from Him. And he makes it clear that it is something that we need to allow and we need to pursue. There's a reason why people are not filled with the Spirit. It's because they don't want to be filled with the Spirit. There's a reason why the fruit of the Spirit and the gifts of the Spirit are not manifest in individuals and churches. It's because people don't want it. They'll listen to a lie and find a reason. The devil will try to get you to find a reason not to desire it. You know, Dwight Moody, who was one of the great early 19th century, 18th century, whatever, 19th century evangelists, he used to go and he used to preach, and he was preaching everywhere. And he said there were two ladies that were sitting up on the front of the pew, and they would show up at his meetings, and they'd always be there. And he'd see them, and they'd always be looking at him and talking to each other, and then pray, and they'd bow their heads in prayer and stuff like that. And he's like, what are they doing? So finally, they just kept showing up at his meetings. So finally, he said, ladies, he said, I notice y'all are here. He said, what are y'all doing? And she said, well, Brother Moody, we're praying that you would be filled with the Spirit. And he kind of took offense at it. He was a successful evangelist and everything like that. But it bothered him. God bothered him about that. He began to seek the Lord, and he began to pray and ask God, and he began to hunger after it. And you know, he said, things didn't change. I didn't preach any new truths or anything like that. I didn't change my messages, but you know what? I started seeing different results. Everything he said I had preached before was scripturally sound. And after I began seeking God that way, it was still scripturally sound, but wasn't any different. He said, but there was something different in me. Well, I want me some of that. I don't know about you, but I want some of that. To see God make a difference. Man, we need that. Then, when we talk about pursuing it, you can't pursue it without prayer. What does it tell us in the book of Philippians? I know we quote it all the time, don't we? Be careful for nothing, but in everything, with prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your request be made known unto God, and the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus, through Christ Jesus. It will keep your heart, it'll keep your mind. A lot of people are troubled but don't have peace because they have troubled minds. They're eat up by worry and fear. And God says, no, you don't have to live that way. We can have the peace, a peace that passeth understanding. That means other people can look at you and you know the one thing, you remember when Brother Stephen was there and there was Paul holding the garments of the people that stoned him. Saul was there and it bothered him. He saw Stephen talk about Jesus being at the right hand of the Father, and it upset him. And boy, he was yet, the Bible said, yet he was breathing out threats and slaughterings against the Lord, against the disciples. He wanted to kill them all. His heart was filled with rage and murder because he looked at Stephen and he saw something. He saw that peace, didn't he? And then when he met Jesus on that Damascus road, he said, Saul, Jesus said to him, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? And he said, who art thou, Lord? And he said, I'm Jesus. And he said, it's hard for thee to kick against the pricks. When we have peace, people will see it. When trouble comes and folks have peace, you'll see it. Brother, I tell you, we need that, don't we? We need that. We need to have that kind of peace, and we can have it. Now, I will say this, as we get forward to closing, I'll just say this to you. If you're not saved, you'll never have peace. This is something, if you're not born again, and I'm not saying you say you're saved, I'm saying you know you're saved. You know your sins are forgiven. You know that you've been redeemed. Not just playing the games, not just repeating a creed, if you will. I'm saying you know Christ as your Savior because you understood that He paid the penalty for your sins when He shed His blood on Calvary's cross, and you've acknowledged yourself as a sinner needing the redemption of God, and you've called on Him, you put your faith and trust in Him, and you're trusting Him alone. You believe that Jesus is the way, the truth, the life, and that no man cometh unto the Father but by Him. And you've trusted Him as your Savior. If you haven't done that, you will never, never, ever, ever have peace. There is no peace, saith my God, unto the wicked. That's the problem most people have. I'm not wicked. Well, yeah, you are. Well, I'm not like them. Well, and they're not like you. But all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. There's none righteous. No, not one. And in due time, Christ died for the ungodly. If you won't acknowledge yourself as ungodly, you know what you're saying? Jesus didn't die for me. But what does the Scripture say? For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not His Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world by Him might be saved. He that believeth on Him is not condemned. He that believeth not is condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. That's us. That's every person that's ever been born on this earth, except for the Lord Jesus Christ Himself. only one that was sinless. And he gave his life a sinless sacrifice for our sins. He bore in his body our sins while he was on the tree. And that's why your only hope is to put your faith and trust in him. So if you're listening or you're here and you don't know for sure if you died today, you go to heaven. You don't know for sure you're saved. I think that's something worth taking care of, don't you? Because we know the day of death is coming, don't we? We know we're not going to live forever. And the Bible says it's appointed unto man once to die, and after this the judgment. We're all going to give an account before God. Are you going to stand before God and say, "Look at all I did, Lord, and I don't need Jesus"? Or are you going to humble yourself and acknowledge what you already know, that you're a sinner and you can't save yourself, that you deserve to go to hell, and that Jesus took your place, paid the penalty for your sins? Are you going to call on him and trust him? Maybe you're here and you say, "Preacher, I know I'm saved. I know I'm saved. But I'm not filled with the Spirit like I ought to be. I don't have the peace that I should have as a believer." What are you going to do about it? You don't have it because you haven't wanted it heretofore. And if you're now getting a desire to have such peace, to have such love, to have such joy, to have that fruit of the Spirit, if you're getting a desire, then pursue it. Starting right now. Let's bow our heads. Heads bowed and eyes closed. There's nobody looking around. I just want to ask you, do you have peace today? Do you have peace? Do you know that you're saved? Do you know that you're saved? And if you know that you're saved, do you have peace in your Christian life? Do you have a peace that you never had in this world before you got saved? You know, if you're lost, you can be saved today. And if you're living carnally and don't have peace as a Christian, you can have it. Our Father, thank you for your love and your kindness and your mercy. Lord, I just pray as people are making decisions, you'd open their eyes to the truth. Open our eyes to the lies we've been told, and there's folks been told that they can't be saved, but that's a lie. The Bible says, "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." And the Bible clearly shows us how much God wants us to have peace, and even in this world. We know that one day there will be eternal peace, because that's all there will be. It's just peace. But even here, now, in this world we live in, as crazy and as wicked as it often seems to be, you've told us that we can have peace. Father, help us to desire it. Help us to desire what you've promised us. Lord, bless each one. And Lord, as we close this morning service, I pray you awaken in us a great hunger and desire to have peace. Have the peace of God which passeth all understanding, to keep our hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. And we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.